It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Cody Besson. Cody is CEO for Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock, and we'll talk cotton. Speaking of cotton, it's a fiber, another fiber that's, well, at least gaining quite a bit of interest is hemp. One of the challenges, though, is developing varieties better suited for dry, arid locations.
We're always interested in environmental adaptation, and heat and drought are always a part of Texas crop production.
Texas A&M's Dr. David Balzenberger.
That having been said, good hemp production requires some water. And so even though it's quite drought resistant, better yields and better quality will be achieved with timely rains or irrigation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Cody Besson. Cody is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And Cody, just last week, House Agriculture Committee had the opportunity to bring in Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, not for the first time in front of the committee, but the first time since he's been a part of the Biden administration to that committee. That was a somewhat interesting hearing, wasn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm certainly appreciative of the fact that he finally was able to make his way to the Hill to provide one of their obligations and duties as the Secretary of Ag, and that's to provide an update on the state of the rural economy. In the ag economy, and most people probably feel very confident in the fact that there are some programs that he mentioned that we've been working on as an agriculture industry for quite some time that they will roll out, and certainly want to provide some more details on that. But certainly there are some challenges ahead that USDA and the Secretary is going to consistently have to take up and address. And we're certainly working on that, whether that be rising input costs, continuation of supply chain issues and availability of products as producers start another cropping season. And so certainly those are on the forefront of our minds, of the Secretary's mind, and certainly of Congress as we venture into 2022. Overall from his testimony, one thing that is of a positive note that the ag sector I mentioned overall has been working on, but trying to finish out disaster assistance in the form of WIP Plus that was reauthorized by Congress in September of 2021. They appropriated roughly $10 billion to implement another round of disaster assistance to address issues we saw in 2020, specifically in our region. Certainly was a very dire year due to hard, drier conditions that we currently, that we typically have. In addition to 2021, you had a plethora of other issues. Most familiar with the vastly hard winter storm that we experienced about this time last year. And certainly those appropriated funds will be very timely from an implementation standpoint. Overall, they gave at least a little bit of indication of when that program could be forthcoming and unrolled, probably around the later springtime. So looking at maybe April, May, when that program would be fully implemented. They indicated that it may come in two tranches. A first tranche being those that had an insurable-based crop that still had some risk at stake, and so that would be the first tranche. They would try to address those types of products and acres and production for insured-based crops. And then the secondary would be those that were not insured. Typically, that's more specialty crop-based that have been impacted by weather-related events or other sectors that are not insurable based crops. So kind of stay tuned on that. It's still a little bit of evolving. They're still trying to work on internal based programming systems and operations, so it's more user friendly when it's implemented. I know that was a big challenge when we saw the 18 and 19 WIP Plus implemented at the county FSA offices. But this is supposed to be a much more user friendly, less labor intensive based programs on county offices that are certainly very strained from a staff level standpoint, and then also from the timeline of an implementation strategically. I think they're much more aware and acute trying to spread out workloads on county offices that are, again, operating on on finite levels where they're going through PLC and ARC sign up currently up until mid-March, and then try to implement this disaster aid type program from end of March, 1st of April, up until we get into acre certification that'll become more aggressive in June. So trying to spread that workload out of the stacking workload on top of one another like we ran into the last couple of seasons.
Speaking of running into, we've seen input cost really starting to soar. Fertilizer cost for some producers well over 300% higher than it was in 2020, 2019. So obviously we're seeing input cost really soar. Is that something you're watching on the radar?
Absolutely. And fertilizer certainly gets the highlighted story on the front page of news cycles. But, you know, it's not just fertilizer alone. It is all input costs that we're relatively seeing increasing from herbicide to pesticide that typically producers use from a agronomic standpoint, all facets related to the agronomic side and the growing side. So, you know, we're certainly a mind of this and trying to be very, very following and how we can strategically try to work with companies and groups, figuring out, you know, the overall reasoning behind some of the costs, whether that be directly tied to inflation or lack of product and availability, a complement of those. And then also making Congress more aware of just the exacerbating costs and rising inputs as compared to the cost of production or price received. You know, certainly the cotton industry specifically has been has had a good year as far as prices being available to them in the futures market and trying to capitalize and capture some of that. But certainly as production costs continue to rise, that margin will get thinner and thinner. So we're very mindful of that and continue to make Congress aware of that. So in the event, if it really gets just more unwieldy than what it has become, that it's something that we're not trying to get them up to speed on, if they're made aware. The other thing that's not only just a rise of input costs that people are concerned about, but also product availability is another key aspect we're looking at for the 2022 crop year, and just making folks aware of where supply and demand is at, and what they mainly be expecting, and kind of have a heads up too as they start planning their 2022 season. This all kind of pivots into what people are looking at today, from starting to look at refinancing once we get into that February type month and on into March per se a little bit. But certainly folks are going to have to look at where cost of inputs are relative to availability as compared to what the potential price they could receive for their crop moving forward in planning for refinancing and trying to get their operation going for this new season. So it is certainly going to be a relatively wild season, I guess, per se, if these issues continue to persist. We're trying to be very mindful of that and watching that moving forward and try to weigh in where we can respectively to try to lessen some of that burden relative when it comes to the cost of goods versus the relative cost of price received. And then, you know, not to exacerbate the challenges in this year and carrying over to next year, but certainly while we're looking at input costs as well as availability, but a lack of shortage of labor certainly has created another issue and challenge that we will see probably even moving forward into this new cropping season, where there's been a vast shortage of people working at the producer level all the way through the ginning segment, through the warehousing and trucking segment. And then the current issue that we continue to grapple with over currently today is a shortage of labor and workforce, even within USDA divisions within the cotton classing office or NRCS office or FSA office. And that just creates its own internal challenges of getting products to market, getting it marketed correctly on time, taking advantage of pricing opportunities when they can, because without classes, without grades and cotton, you know, certainly that is a limiting factor for people to be able to market their open cotton that they currently have today. So lots of issues moving forward that we continue to be focused on to try to address very readily, but certainly very mindful of what they are, and just hope that price remains very robust as we're seeing today. Hopefully as we get into the near of the planting season, or when inputs will start to be put out from a fertilizer or a pre-emerge application as well, that will have good timely rains and a very vast amount of production to be able to take advantage of a decent price that we're seeing right now. But certainly, as good things come about, certainly comes with challenges, but we're hopeful that this year the positive aspects that we're seeing right now will certainly outweigh some of the ongoing challenges we're seeing in the supply side and input side.
Yeah, and with just a couple of minutes left, one of those challenges may be penciling out next year, not because of low commodity prices, but those high input prices, right?
That's certainly right. And, you know, every producer is very unique in how they're trying to pencil out what they're going to do for this next year, whether that be being more strategic in how they apply some of their inputs, how they work their ground from a more strategic look at an agronomic standpoint and where they can hedge, if you will, on the input side to limit some of their exposure and cost if possible. And you know, certainly the lending community is looking at this and being very astute from a refinancing standpoint, as well as we are too. But that is something that everybody is taking very seriously as these challenges come about going into a new season.
Okay, Cody, finally, Farm Bill is getting teed up. We've already heard that, and that appears to be something that House Ag Committee is prepared to start. Plains cotton growers ready for that as well?
We are. We're certainly getting very geared up, along with our counterparts with the Cotton Council, the Council of Council of Agribusiness, and, you know, all large commodity-based groups are very much ready and willing to start the process. I do feel like it will be a lengthy process per se. You know, the current bill that we're operating with underneath today will expire in 2023, but the discussions, as you said, and as the chairman has indicated, will start now. And so I just encourage folks that as issues arise or as concerns come about, or if they have some examples or policy solutions that we need to be made aware of, the time is now to try to be forthcoming in that and raise some of those issues so they can be worked out over the next year or so in formulating a new and adequate safety net within the next farm bill. You know, it'll be interesting to see how some of this process plays out, especially given the fact that we're in an election cycle. I think some are more aggressive than others between even the different bodies between the Senate and House of how quickly they would like to start some of these discussions. But we're certainly looking forward to the discussions. I'm glad the House is giving an indication that they want to have those and start that process because, as most know, you know, the development of a five-year farm bill is certainly no cakewalk. It takes a lot of time and work and analysis to make sure the policy is developed right, to make sure issues that we know of today are taken up and hopefully curbed from occurring in the future or trying to hedge that. And that takes a lot of time and thought in that process. So we're excited about the process starting. Certainly look forward to working with both the House and Senate and look forward to the engagement by our cotton grower leadership and other members throughout our region and throughout the state and throughout the Cotton Belt as well.
Cody Besson is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers. You can keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Cody Besson, CEO, Plains Cotton Growers.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. You can keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org, plainscotton.org.
Great hay doesn't just happen. A good hay crop takes planning, hard work, and the right tools. At Livingston Machinery, we have the Heston by Massey Ferguson self-propelled windrowers, large square balers, and small square balers you need to bring your crop in right. Years of experience and rugged American-made quality show in every high-density bale. Don't just wish for good hay. Demand Heston hay. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report. Gary Crawford reports from Washington, D.C.
The detection over the last few days of highly pathogenic avian influenza in three wild birds in North and South Carolina.
That puts us on significantly high alert.
Dr. Juliana Lenock is coordinator of USDA's National Wildlife Disease Program that includes the extensive wild bird surveillance system, which gathers and tests thousands of samples a year to check for diseases like high-path avian influenza.
And be able to use that as an early warning system for our poultry industry.
And now that system has the industry on very high alert because, and Dr. Lenock does not mince words here, the fact that high-path bird flu has shown up in wild birds in the U.S.
That greatly increases the chance of a detection in a backyard flock or in a commercial flock.
Which could be disastrous for the poultry industry. Dr. Lenock says producers are doubling down on biosecurity to keep the virus out of U.S. poultry flocks. An outbreak 7 years ago resulted in the deaths of 50 million chickens and turkeys, costing the industry over $1.5 billion.